I'm Ron Flatter with your VSiN Action Update. While the spread on both of the NFL's conference championship games has moved to 3, injury updates center mostly on the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, he is going to play. So is defensive back Rashad Breeland. They have passed their concussion tests. Mahomes also has turf toe, and that's not going away quickly. Talk of off-season surgery, but that's for the future. Rookie running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire is expected to get the green light. The bigger question is for how long and how effectively with his hip and ankle injuries. Backup Le'Veon Bell is doubtful. Darrell Williams will back up Edwards-Helaire. Wide receiver Sammy Watkins, a game-time decision with his leg injury, inactives in the next half hour. Kansas City mostly favored by 3 at home tonight against Buffalo. The total 54.5. Dry, calm 39 at Arrowhead Stadium. The early game coming up in 2 hours at Lambeau Field, where 9,000, that's 9,000, I almost said 90. It sounds like 90 according to some of the players. They'll be allowed in, the heaviest snow tapering off now. Forecasters say still a 50-50 chance of flurries during the game. There will be a breeze close to 10 miles an hour, temperature 30, wind chill 22 for the Packers and the Buccaneers. If you have all the apps here in Nevada, you can get Green Bay minus 3 or Tampa Bay plus 3.5. The over-under, 53.5. Buffalo defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier and Kansas City offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy are expected to get interviews next week for the forever open coaching job with the Houston Texans. The Eagles finally confirmed this morning what we pretty well knew already, that they hired Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni as their new head coach. Took a few days to finalize the contract. With one obvious exception, travel for Super Bowl week for the participating teams will happen closer to game day than it has been maybe ever. According to Adam Schefter of ESPN, if the Bills or Packers win, or both, they will not fly until a week from Thursday. The Chiefs would not go if they win until a week from Friday. Of course, if the Buccaneers make it, they're getting there early. Travel a moot point, since the game is 2 weeks from tonight at their home stadium. The NBA Sunday tips off in a few minutes at Indianapolis, two nights after an overtime win at Orlando. The Indiana Pacers are favored by 4.5 against Toronto. The Raptors blew out Miami at home on Friday. This afternoon at Los Angeles, the Clippers are 13-point favorites against the Thunder. Tonight, the Celtics lay 6, hosting the Cavaliers. The Magic laying 1 at home against the Hornets. The Spurs are 7-point favorites at home against the Wizards. Bucks laying 8 at home against the Hawks. And the Trailblazers are 4-point home favorites against the Knicks. The Miami Heat will welcome fans back to home games soon. And the home arena will go to the dogs. COVID-sniffing dogs. Yeah, they've got those. They'll be used to screen spectators and make sure they test negative to their noses. First game with fans will be Thursday against the Clippers. With number 4 Iowa having its game with Nebraska called off because of the coronavirus, no ranked men's teams are playing college basketball today. At the half among non-ranked teams, in the Big Ten, Rutgers' Geo Baker has 9 points. Jerome Bea Hunter for Indiana also has 9. Halftime with Indiana laying 4.5 at Assembly Hall, but losing to Rutgers 38-33. This afternoon, Utah favored by 5 visiting Washington. Tonight, Miami, 3-point home favorite against Notre Dame. One game going on right now in the NHL, Pia Suter scoring his first 2 career goals in the NHL, about 5 minutes apart, as Chicago, a minus 130 favorite, playing at home, leads Detroit with 3:25 to go in the first period. It is the Blackhawks 2 and the Red Wings nothing. Chicago came in a minus 130 favorite. In 2 hours, Buffalo, minus 120. Visiting even money Washington. Big trade yesterday. Columbus getting right wing Patrick Laine and center Jack Roslovic from Winnipeg for center Pierre-Luc Dubois and a 3rd-round draft pick next year. The NFL moving toward its grand finale. VSiN betting experts have every angle covered and every other sport too. We're tracking the NBA, college hoops, horse racing, soccer, hockey, and tennis. Plus new shows like The Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shah starting tomorrow, 2:00 Eastern Time. Get best bet emails every day, 24/7 video, and point spread weekly. Start your free trial now. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Championship Sunday in the National Football League, the AFC. It'll be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills at Arrowhead Stadium. Patrick Mahomes has been cleared to play through the concussion protocol, but he does have turf toe. We'll talk about how that could affect the game today. In the NFC, future Hall of Famers Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers compete for the NFC title. The Packers hosting the Buccaneers at Lambeau Field. The Lamar Hunt and the George Halas trophies are on the line today. It's the Championship Sunday edition of Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Senator of Detroit. James Salinas joins us from Denver, Colorado. And in Las Vegas, it's Wes Reynolds. And James, Patrick Mahomes will play, but it's the turf toe that could cause him problems today. The Kansas City Chiefs favored not only to win today and move on to the Super Bowl, but they're the favorites to repeat as Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, and I think as far as Mahomes is concerned, if anybody can deal with an injury, especially a foot injury, it's his lead foot, it's his left foot. He's got the ability to make every different arm angle throw you can think of. He's done it. It seems like he's had such a long career, so we're so used to seeing him. He's always in prime time, already a Super Bowl champ, just his fourth season as a young quarterback. Even throws the ball left-handed sometimes. But I think in this case here, I would suspect that Andy Reid, especially with Edwards-Helaire being cleared, and he will be back today. He's been out for over a month. I think that's going to help take some pressure off Mahomes to feel like they have to gear the offense, everything about Mahomes. And why wouldn't you, obviously? He's really such a special player and talent and really so cool as a competitor in this league as a young player. But I think that's where we can dig into some props later as the show goes that might have some influence based on what I think the game plan will be for Kansas City and kind of how that might kind of dial back some things for Mahomes that he normally adds to his arsenal as a quarterback, Wes. But in this case here, his head's right. He passed the protocol, like Mike said, and ultimately you talk about his head, what's between the ears for Mahomes, the confidence that he brings. I right now, as a young player, nobody does it better in the NFL than Patrick does.
Exactly, James. And we've already seen kind of the game plan. We'll see if they duplicate it, what Kansas City did in week six in that Monday afternoon to night doubleheader back in week six where Kansas City went to Buffalo, and it was all about the running game. And you mentioned in the open there with Clyde Edwards-Helaire being back. Edwards-Helaire, for his part, 26 carries for 161 yards against this Buffalo defense back in week six. 46 carries for 245 yards overall for the Kansas City Chiefs rushing unit. Bell's going to be out today, but he was there last week and Edwards-Helaire was out. So look, Kansas City's got plenty of depth at running back. They can obviously run Williams. They also have the receivers, Hill and Hardman, that they get into the running game sometimes if they want to do a wildcat or if they want to do like a bunch of end arounds or reverses. Andy Reid and the offensive brain trust, they move these guys around. So it's not like they're always in the same spot. Sometimes guys out wide are put in the slot. Sometimes guys in the slot are put out wide. So they've got the game plan. And if you look at the first Kansas City matchup between them and Buffalo, Mahomes, kind of a pedestrian game, a very solid game, though. 21 of 26, 221 yards, 8.2 yards a pass, was only sacked one time. Kansas City really dominated that game, even though they only won 26-17. They did cover the number. It felt like they probably should have won by more. So I'm not concerned necessarily. I mean, there's a mild concern, I guess. But, you know, I don't think that they're going to need to be running Mahomes a lot. This is okay if you get pressured, get rid of it. And you've got some safety valves underneath, and obviously having Edwards-Helaire, who's the most big play running back in that backfield on that running back unit for KC, is obviously a very welcome sight. Sammy Watkins not likely to go today, but you know, if Kansas City's down a weapon or two, they still got them all over the place. So I'm not necessarily overly concerned about their offense.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire expected to play with his hip injury. 1,100 yards from scrimmage this season. 5 points. yards per touch. Le'Veon Bell, as Wes said, not expected to play, bothered by a knee injury. Sammy Watkins, a game-time decision. Team not optimistic he'll be able to play due to that calf injury. Rashad Breeland, the defensive back for the Kansas City Chiefs, will play. He cleared the concussion protocol, as did quarterback Patrick Mahomes. What does Buffalo need to do today to win the game, James Salinas, if they hope to upset the Chiefs and move on to the Super Bowl?
Well, I think really it's going to come down to Josh Allen, that offense, and that offensive game plan coordinator in the midst of this game. I suspect we're not going to see I think the Chiefs' defense here, that's, you know, they are susceptible. Breeland is going to play, which is a big boost for them. Not having him today would have really hurt that secondary, because you can't attack those corners and you can't attack them over the middle of the field in the passing game. But I suspect we're not going to see just this all-out blitz from Kansas City. I think they're going to really try to force the issue with Josh Allen and that offense to be patient with the football. It's not going to be, hey, sling it over the top and you got Diggs who's just going to light us up. We're going to sit back there. We're going to make you have to throw the ball underneath. We're going to make you have to throw some of those short passes, hit your running backs, keep everything in front of us, and see if you're going to, through four quarters, especially if Kansas City scores and they start getting the lead, what is that going to look like for Buffalo? Are they going to, especially at the young quarterback there, biggest game of his life as far as Josh Allen is concerned, young at least at this point of his career, can they be patient enough to take what Kansas City gives them? We've seen that out of Andy Reid in Kansas City. That game back that Wes referenced back in week 6, basically that's kind of how the Bills played, and that's kind of what we've seen from defenses playing against the Chiefs, is we're not going to let you take the top off of our defense because you have so many speedsters that can do that. We're going to sit back. We're going to make you, we'll allow you to run the football if you choose to do that. We'll keep everything in front of us in the short passing game. I think that's kind of the game script for the Chiefs defense today. Now the question will be, will Josh Allen and that offense be patient enough to just take what Kansas City gives them? I think that's really the key for the Bills today, because it's going to have to be, we know that they're going to run they're going to throw the football. This is what they've been doing all season long, and as we progress through the latter part of the season, Wes, especially in the playoffs, it has been put the ball in Josh Allen's hands, let's spread the field, let's find Diggs, which he's been spectacular in the playoffs as well as all of the regular season. But I think, to me, Wes, the key is going to be, what is that game plan for the Bills, and can they be patient enough to take what Kansas City's defense is going to give them?
Yeah, James, absolutely. And piggybacking off that, look, what's going to probably decide this is if the Bills' perimeter receivers and deep threats, Diggs and Brown, can get loose in the Kansas City secondary. And if they can, then Buffalo's more than likely going to win this game and move on to Super Bowl 55, because this is a Kansas City defense, and I mentioned this yesterday, that doesn't like to get beat deep. They're designed not to get beat deep and give up the big play. They'll give up all the underneath stuff and all the middle route stuff that you want. They like to funnel everything into the middle of the field. And I think, I forget the exact yardage number, but Kansas City has given up the most amount of receiving yards to running backs in this league. So we'll tie that into when we discuss some of the props a little bit later. So, you know, the running backs and the tight ends certainly in play for Buffalo. Now, does Buffalo take the approach of, okay, we're going to take what these guys give us defensively? Or do they say, okay, we got to force the issue and just take shots and see if we can score something down the field with Diggs and Brown, namely Diggs here. But on the Buffalo defensive side, one of the things that you would want to see if you're a Bills backer is to see if they're hoping maybe Patrick Mahomes' mobility is obviously affected by this turf toe, and if they can get some pressure on him. They only sacked him one time in the first meeting back in week 6, and this is a Buffalo defensive front. I've mentioned it before here on VSiN that, look, they're designed to rush the passer, rather. They're not designed to be a big-time rush stop unit. This is a very small defensive front for the Buffalo Bills, and that's why Kansas City had so much success running on them in the first game, and really in both playoff games. The Colts had success running on them, especially in the second half. Baltimore had success running on them pretty much the whole game. Just when they got in the red zone, couldn't score or would miss a kick or would turn it over. But this is a Buffalo team that will give up some chunk yardage in the running game for sure.
Best bets for this AFC championship Matt Eumanns, Gil Alexander, Adam Chernoff, Chuck Gettle, Jonathan Von Tobel, Danny Burke, all like the Chiefs laying three. Drew Dinsick and Jeff Schwartz like the number to go under 54. Any bet this one in the AFC title game?
Yeah, for me, Mike, I'm with the crew there in terms of Kansas City. I laid them on the money line here. I didn't do anything with the total. Wasn't sure how the weather was going to be. So no play on the total as of yet for me. Starting to see 27s out there now. So that at least would get me interested in taking the under. When you get a big move from an opening total, and usually I would kind of like to fade that move more in the first half. So, but what I mentioned about the Chiefs kind of in the opening analysis rings true here. Buffalo obviously is getting backed here, and they're getting backed here largely, I think, because they've covered 9 of the last 10 games, and Kansas City has not covered since November 1st. I think they're. I think it's an 0-8-1 ATS run. Keep in mind, in a lot of those games, you've got Kansas City laying double digits or more. It's hard to cover double digits in the National Football League. But if you look at the good teams that they have played this season, Kansas City 6-0 against winning teams this year. They've been averaging 169 yards a game in terms of an advantage. So that shows you even more than the scoreboard would indicate that they're outplaying these teams. And look at what they did against these best teams. Plus 289 yards against Baltimore on the road, plus 260 yards at Buffalo, plus 126 yards at Tampa Bay, plus 81 yards at Miami, plus 126 yards at New Orleans, plus 130 yards against Cleveland last week. So while they may not be covering big numbers, which they don't have to cover today at three, they're winning more convincingly than I think the score would indicate against these teams. And I know there's been times where the Chiefs have looked disinterested, but they've got the highest ceiling of any team. And even if Pat Mahomes is 80, 85%, I still think that there's value on a low three and a very tepid three at that. So Buffalo is getting support. And one of kind of, I think, the more overrated discussions this time of year, when you're down to the Final Four, the conference championship games, is who the sharps are on and who the public is on. There are sharps on both sides, and there are public bettors on both sides. When you get down to four teams at this time of year, and the spreads are basically three in both games. So I don't think there's one wise guy side and one square side, if you want to use those terms. I mean, these teams are evenly matched, and that's why you're seeing threes really in both games.
Each of the last eight have been, each of Kansas City's last eight games have been decided by less than 6 points. That's an NFL record. 1-8 against the spread, 8-1 against the spread for Kansas City in their last nine games. Kansas City laying three against Buffalo in the AFC Championship game. We'll talk a lot of the prop bets a little bit later on here on VSiN Betting Across America. Let's turn our attention to the NFC Championship game. The Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, two Hall of Famers, going head-to-head as Aaron Rodgers takes on Tom Brady and James Salinas. Your initial thoughts on this one?
Well, it's interesting now. I'm looking at the numbers, right? And these numbers are really starting to drop in favor of the Buccaneers. It was 3.5 in favor of Green Bay for a couple of days here, and juice was going towards the Packers. Now it's dropped down to 3 at pretty much every book out here, and some juice going towards the Bucs as well. So really interesting to see where that's going, as well as the money line. I think we're going to see not only people, because these are short numbers when you're talking about taking a dog. Technically, they are a dog here at plus 3 or 3.5, but I think we're going to see more money coming in on those money line folks that want to get more bang for their buck here. That is really starting to decrease as well. I got some 160, 165s out here in favor of the Packers, where that was up in the 180s, 185s earlier in the week. So from that standpoint, that's been pretty interesting to see where this number is going, as well as the total. So that total now is ticked from, I have in my notes here, leaning under at 52. 52, but wait until closer to game time is my own notes. Now it's 53 and a half, and it's I think it's we got some juice ticking up. Maybe it gets to 54, and ultimately I think that's probably I've already bet Green Bay at 3. I did that earlier a few days ago, but as far as the total goes, and we can get more into where we think this the game plan's going into this matchup here, but that total, if that gets to 54, that might be my buy point right there to bet the under in this matchup, Wes.
Yeah, and I'm about to get to a buy point myself to lay the Green Bay money line. Currently $1.75 at BetMGM. You can get lower in some other jurisdictions, even as low a little bit under 165. Anything 160 to 165-ish gets me a little bit interested in Green Bay here. I am curious to see now that Antonio Brown is out of the lineup for Tampa Bay. It's going to be Tyler Johnson that pretty much replaces him. But what that does is that changes a little bit of Green Bay's coverage. And now that puts their best defensive back, Jaire Alexander, on Mike Evans. And they don't play a lot of shadow coverage in Green Bay, but they're probably going to want to do the same to Mike Evans. First meeting, Mike Evans only had one catch. Now, part of that was that Tampa Bay got a big lead in the second half and kind of ran the ball a little bit more. But that's going to switch their coverages a little bit. And if you put your best guy in Mike Evans, I don't think it totally takes him away, but it certainly reduces it. And then you can kind of focus on Chris Godwin here. So, yeah, I'm liking Green Bay more and more as we get closer to kickoff here.
Clippers play for their seventh straight win today. The Celtics look to end a three-game slide of the Wizards' return to the court. They've been out due to COVID-19. We'll take a look at the NBA's for today. Championship Sunday edition of the Betting Across America presented by BetMGM continues after this on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is it where he's like hearing himself? Yeah. I had that for Rush Hour the first day last week. It's, oh, God.
For the football playoffs and basketball and hockey games every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere. Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from Mandalay and to bring you the analysis of all the best matches. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Problem 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Senator Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, Wes Reynolds in Las Vegas. Let's talk NBA, guys. The Los Angeles Clippers have won 6 consecutive games. They're playing for their 7th straight win. They're at Staples Center today against the Oklahoma City Thunder. This season, the Clippers averaging better than 123, rather, during the winning streak. They're averaging 123 a game and giving up just 105 a game. That's a recipe for success, James Salinas.
Yeah, it is, and I think that's where I think they had something to prove, obviously, after how they went down and lost to the Nuggets and blew the lead in that division final, I guess you could say, or the conference semifinal there against the Nuggets, the 3-1 loss, blowing that the way they did, and really some issues going on within the locker room, and you know, living in that bubble down there in Florida, it was taxing for them, and for some players, much more taxing mentally and psychologically than others, but you know, and these are the kind of cases here where pick and choose your spots of when you want to lay big numbers, or as a dog, you want to take big numbers. And I think here with Oklahoma City, this is a complete makeover from the coaching aspect, from the roster. It's a completely different team, but you got young players out there that are trying to show out, and they want to compete. And now that they've played each other and they lost by 14 the other day, now matched up again, this is where you kind of have to look at what is the intensity level, where do the Clippers want to come out, and how hard do they want to play in these games. We just beat these guys pretty handily the other night, and I think from that standpoint here, maybe this is where you can find a spot on the dog. Basically, 13 out here is what the number is in favor of the Clippers. In this case, this is the kind of spots where I like to play the underdog, because I just feel like you're going to get more intensity. I may even play the first half, but I like the 13. I'll probably take a little shot here with the Thunder plus the 13, Wes.
Yeah, I was looking a little bit more at the total here, and perhaps looking at the under. Obviously, try to get the best number you can in the market, because I'm seeing still some 222s. It's 221.5 here at BetMGM. This was 219 on Friday when these two teams met, and then it goes over by about 7 points, 226. But maybe a little bit of a short-term overreaction, because I kind of like to play that, because now this has gone up about 3 points in the market. And look, the Clippers, if you look at them, I think they have Paul George and Kawhi and all these different talented players, that they're this offensive juggernaut. They play at the fourth slowest pace in the NBA. Oklahoma City is trying to play a little faster under this new regime. But the Clippers, I think it all kind of comes down to their defense, because when they're interested, they're one of the better defensive teams in the league. When they're not, they're very pedestrian, and that's why they rank 21 in defensive rating this season, 112 points per possession. But they've allowed just 108.4 points for over the last 2 weeks. So the defense, I think, is showing a little bit of improvement. It might have been a little bit of attributed to rust, at least early on in the season. But now I think they're kind of settling into the season, defense getting a little bit better. So if I'm going anywhere in this game, I am going with the under here on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, Wes, and you know what? I agree with you. I think that kind of correlates. If I don't think a team's going to really show up, it's usually on the defensive side, right? So then it's correlated. If I don't see a whole lot of effort or intensity from a team, feeling like this is going to be kind of a dismissive walkthrough game, I like the overs too, so I like your angle on this matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. So we shall. That we do have one game underway, by the way, a matinee game in the NBA, 22-22, Toronto and Indiana, tied in Bankers Life Fieldhouse. This did take some Hoosier support, up to about 4.5 on the close from the opener of one. Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam not going for the Toronto Raptors, but all tied at 22 here, about 2 minutes left to go. Back on the other side with Betting Across America, we'll get into some more NBA, also some NHL, and a couple of the college basketball games in progress, including Rutgers and Indiana, right here on Betting Across America, brought to you by VSiN, the Sport Betting Network.
Become a VSiN All Access member today, and you will get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for the NFC Conference Championship weekend and every sport in action for less than $22 per month. Receive daily emails with our best bets from guests and hosts, 24/7 video access, and our point spread weekly betting guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. We're back on Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Center in Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, Wes Reynolds at the VSiN studios in Las Vegas. The Boston Celtics have dropped three straight, guys, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that Jason Tatum is out on the COVID-19 list. Today, the Celtics look to end their three-game slide. They are 6-point favorites at home against the red-hot Cavaliers, who have won three straight, including back-to-back wins over the Brooklyn Nets. Any thoughts on this one, James?
Yeah, I think as far as the Celtics are concerned, I mean, it's been a struggle for them, not only through injury, but with the COVID issues. And unfortunately, it's a rookie, but Peyton Pritchard just went down with a knee injury, so he's going to be out indefinitely. So, and that's a kid I really like. I think teams need to have players like that on their team. Kind of the kid's been an underdog his whole life. He goes out. He's not afraid to step out there and compete. He shows out. So I think from the Celtics standpoint, that's been the struggle, obviously, and they know that it's a grind of a season, and they'll work through it once players start coming back. And Jason Tatum not being there, obviously, that's a big off. He can play defense as well, so he's a great on-the-ball defender, long, lengthy athlete out there. But and then when they need a basket, he's one that can get down on the blocks. He can shoot it. He can score at all three levels. But, you know, as far as Cleveland's concerned, I mean, coming off of, yeah, like you said, three straight wins, but coming off back-to-back, in a sense, I won't call them blowout wins over the Nets there, Wes, but I mean, they definitely took the challenge on. They were ready to compete. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder. That's a young team right there out in Cleveland. But when you have young teams like that, especially early in the season, and they start to get confidence, those are the kind of sides that I like to back. Now, yes, they are going to go on the road for whatever that means in today's COVID NBA, but I kind of lean towards the Cavs here getting that number, just knowing how much confidence they're playing with and how hard they're playing each and every night.
Well, what I think obviously has benefited Cleveland, at least in the short-term interim period, is the fact that they got Colin Sexton and Darius Garland back. Without those guys, they were really struggling to score. Kevin Love, by the way, still out. And then Drummond missed a couple games. So, look, you were very shorthanded, and that's why they were having such these low totals where they were scoring in the high 80s, low 90s. But now these young guys are back, and I think giving them some confidence. I don't think anybody had Cleveland, even though it's very early in the season, through 15 games being over 500, back-to-back wins over the Nets. And look, they've got some young talent. I think that they're getting better when you can have Colin Sexton back in the lineup and Darius Garland, and you know, still a little bit down on talent because it's a rebuild there. But I didn't get involved in this one because this could be a get-right spot for the Celtics. They did lose back-to-back games to the 76ers, who they knocked out in the playoff bubble last year in Orlando. So I thought the price was about right. Let's see how Cleveland does taking to the road, because they got both these wins over the Nets at home. So at 6, it looks about right. One score update from the early game: Toronto up 28-24 over the Indiana Pacers just about a minute into the second quarter in Indiana. Pacers -3.5, 210.5 on the in-game total at BetMGM. This line did go up and close 4.5 for the Pacers, as I mentioned before the break. Pascal Siakam and Kyle Lowry not going today for the Dinosaurs.
The Wizards have not played since January the 11th. They're 7-point road dogs at San Antonio today. Washington, well, they can score, averaging better than 120 a game. Problem is, they can't stop anybody, James. They're giving up 121 per game. It kind of makes it hard to bet on the Wizards, even if they were at 100%.
Well, and that's the hard part, right? You haven't played in 2 weeks. We don't know exactly who was affected by the COVID issues, and you're not practicing together either. And when you have such a variety of new players, you need that practice time to really get together, both on both sides of the floor, really, offensively and defensively. So, yeah, I've kind of made it, especially with basketball, both in college and in the NBA, when we have teams that are coming through these long layoffs, not knowing to what extent they've been able to have practice time and prepare together. It's really, I just tend to stay away from these kind of games, Wes, because right now I don't have a clue what it's going to look like for Washington, who's going to be on the court, and really how that's going to impact them going into this game or even the subsequent couple games thereafter.
Yeah, to your point, James, kind of looking at what the Wizards have, these guys have not been upgraded, so still listed as out or even questionable. Hachimura, Mo Wagner, Ish Smith, Troy Brown Jr., Avidja, the new draft pick that they got, Davis Bertans, also out due to quarantine. Haven't played a game since January 11th. Before that hiatus, as Mike mentioned about how many points they're giving up, fourth worst defensive rating in the NBA. And after missing 6 games, now they're the second worst. So, look, the over, I guess, would make sense. It always makes sense in the in Washington Wizards games. Currently 231 on the total, Spurs -7, but likely a stay away away from me just because I don't know who's going to be suiting up. And to top that all off, Russell Westbrook, of course, listed as questionable for tonight.
Milwaukee laying 8 against the Atlanta Hawks in Milwaukee. James, this looks like a pretty good spot for Milwaukee to get healthy against or get right against an Atlanta team, although the Hawks come into the matchup winners of 3 straight.
Well, I guess my concern with Milwaukee is, you know, they're coming off back-to-back losses against conference contenders. The other night, they're losing to the Lakers, national TV. All right, there's the champion. There's your Western Conference contender. And then the Nets prior to that, where even with the Nets trying to figure out what's this going to look like for their players, still not being able to, and the Nets were shorthanded in that game, not being able to compete with the big boys. So, yeah, I mean, their record looks good on paper right now, but when it comes, all of those wins have come against all but one team that's over 500. So I think for Milwaukee, I don't know, the market's still kind of high on those guys, and you know, I didn't like how they closed out the playoffs last year. We kind of saw how one-dimensional Giannis was when it came to, especially in a 7-game series, making him have to be a jump shooter. Right now, Milwaukee, I just continue to think is overpriced, but you know, as far as the Hawks go, they've been beating up on bottom feeders. They have won 3 straight, but you know, they were able to beat up on Minnesota twice, and then the Detroit Pistons. Not really sure where that team is at. More expectations. Haven't really met the expectations, I think, from the preseason standpoint, that some prognosticators thought that the Hawks were going to play like. But early in the season right now, ultimately this will be a stay-away game for me. I think most people in Wisconsin will be more focused on the other team in green out there as far as the Packers are concerned.
This Missouri Valley Conference team is ranked in the top 25, according to KenPom, and it's not Drake. We'll talk college basketball when Betting Across America continues on VSiN. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and Tennessee. Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789. And in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett's in the Motor City. James Salinas in Denver, Colorado. And in the sports gambling capital of the world, it's Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. And prior to the break, we talked about there's one Missouri Valley Conference team that's ranked in the top 25, and it's not 13-0 Drake. In the KenPom, they are ranked 62nd. And Drake has become a darling to bettors because they continue to win and cover the spread by large margins. But the team that's ranked in the top 25 of the KenPom is the Loyola Ramblers. They are ranked 24th in the KenPom, number 50 in adjusted offensive efficiency, number 19 in adjusted defensive efficiency. Today they're laying 6.5 points at Bradley. Loyola has won 4 straight, James Salinas. And this is, for a lot of people, an off-the-radar type of game, but for bettors, these are the kind of games where money could be made.
Well, and you're talking about it getting points in that matter, right, too. I see, it's 6.5. I do see some sixes here, so maybe some buyback on taking the dog in this spot. I think ultimately, when we're talking about this early into the season here, but now you start to get into some of these conference matchups, it's trying to look at, well, the depth. And I try to look at the depth of what does the roster look like, how well have these teams played each other, because sometimes you get these rivalries with players year in and year out, how deep are they when when it comes to the upperclassmen that are on these teams. And really, I look at guard play. And those are some of the things that I think are important, not only in this matchup, but also from a standpoint when it comes to all of these college basketball teams having time to play together. And what does practice time look like? Now, it's interesting. You talk about Loyola. Obviously, I think at the defensive side, I mean, the last game, they allowed 39 points the last game. So I think that's where, if you're looking to back a dog, so you're not going to have bad nights when you can't shoot. And those are going to happen. But ultimately, defense can travel, Wes. And I think from here, this standpoint here, the fact that they're allowing just 57 points a game, I think from here, that's where I like to find dogs, even though it is on the road. But in this case, what does home court really mean? I think defensively, teams can communicate because these arenas aren't nearly as loud. Maybe there's some pumped up noise going into these games, but ultimately I think players can communicate. So I favor dogs when they have the acumen on the defensive side, Wes.
Yeah, I haven't played this one, but the more I look at it, I'm leaning a little bit to the Bradley side. Bradley is comfortable doing what Loyola Chicago wants to do, which is to go ahead and slow the tempo. And you'll remember a name if you remember the Sister Jean phenomenon at Loyola when they went to the Final Four. They added one that was then a young freshman center named Cameron Krutwig, who was a key part of their team that year that won 32 games. He was a freshman. Now he is a senior. But now he goes against a Bradley team that is number one in the nation in terms of two-point field goal percentage. They allow just 39.4% pack line defense. Brian Wardle is playing there in Peoria. This is a team that likes to slow the tempo down. On defense, 18.9 seconds, so the average possession length, 345th in terms of longest possession. So they really force you, and they play defense for all 30 seconds of the shot clock. You got a Bradley team that's off a loss at Illinois State, kind of one of the bottom feeders, at least so far this season in the Missouri Valley Conference. But Loyola has been good. They've got Krutwig, who is a starter, and then another kid, Lucas Williamson, who's also a senior, who is a reserve contributor on that Final Four team. So, you know, it's kind of what I say in college basketball, get old, stay old, and experience does matter, even though some years you can get that hot shot one-and-done recruiting class and run it to the Final Four or even the national championship. But most years, it's going to be veteran teams comprised with a bunch of talented underclassmen contributors. But Loyola started 3-2. They've won 8 of their last 9, just a loss at Indiana State back on or 2 weeks ago was kind of the lone outlier in their winning streak. So the number looks right, but the situation in terms of the matchup makes me lean to Bradley. Haven't played it yet, but I think it's 6.5 with a really good defense at home that can slow down the tempo. That could be a ripe recipe, rather, for an upset. Let me get a couple score updates here from some of the early games, too. Rutgers on the way to pulling the upset in Bloomington. 5-point underdogs at Indiana, now up 72-65. Of course, this was the vintage letdown spot for Indiana. That win at Iowa on Thursday, number 4 Iowa, played their best game of the year. So, you know, one thing I say as an alum and as a fan, it's like, okay, now don't mess it up and lose to Rutgers, a very desperate Rutgers team that has lost several in a row at home, and they're on their way to doing that. 141 left to go. Rutgers 72-65. Davidson also up on UMass 60-53. 3:15 left to go in the second half. Davidson minus 6.5 on the end game at BetMGM. James Madison up by 6 at Northeastern 3 minutes ago, 70-64. JMU minus 6.5 for the second half.
Rutgers lost 5 straight in 6 of their last 7 games. And as Wes mentioned, they're out in front of the Hoosiers at Assembly Hall. The Hoosiers just now hit a big 3-pointer and have taken a timeout. Rutgers looking for the upset in Bloomington. Utah visits Washington today. The Washington Huskies, a disappointing year, 2-11. They snapped an 8-game losing streak with a win over Colorado 84-80 in their last outing. Today, they're a 5-point dog at home to Utah. Washington and Utah today, the Alaska Airlines Arena. James Salinas.
Yeah, and I see some fours. I see some fours out here as in favor of Utah too. I think Kristoliak, that team has been. Well, let's talk about Washington for a moment. I think for CU, yes, they were able to upset CU. Those are those kind of spots in college basketball where you're going to be looking ahead. Or it's really in my mind for Colorado and the Buffs. It's been a very trying time these first 2 months of the season. They've been on the road an awful lot and dealt with some COVID cancellations as well. So a lot of travel from that standpoint and some weird travel where they've had some games moved up that they weren't anticipating to play and having to travel. So could have caught them at a spot where they might have just had some tired, weary travel legs. But in this case here with Utah, you know, they just win at Wazoo the other night. And I think for Kristoliak's team, it's a pretty young team. They don't have a lot of upperclassmen leadership on that team. But as far as the coaching acumen goes, that's where I lean towards Utah in this matchup to be able to get themselves right. They got the win on the road and really felt good about themselves to finally get off the side because they've had kind of a challenge this season as far as the scheduling and the practice time is concerned. So Wes, I haven't made a play on this game either, but with Washington right now, they've been competitive in some of these games, but it's really been kind of up and down. But in the case of Utah, yeah, going on another road trip in Washington, but I do favor the Utes in this matchup.
Yeah, and I think the number is about right here at 5, but you wonder how Washington now is going to approach this. They finally got a win Wednesday night. They upset Colorado, and you mentioned the Buffs had been on the road a lot, so ripe recipe for an upset. They win 84-80. That, by the way, was Washington's first win on the Pac-12 conference season, now 1-7 in the pack, and had lost, I believe, 8 in a row before they had gotten the win over Colorado. So how does Washington approach this? Do they say, okay, we got to win, you know, and it's a relief, and then kind of revert back to their previous poor play, certainly leading into that game against Colorado? Or is now the pressure off, where it's like, okay, we got this monkey off our back, now we can just go play ball? And sometimes you'll see that with teams where they break a losing streak and then it's like, okay, we're relieved, we got that win, we got the monkey off our back, not a lot of pressure, let's just go out and play. Utah is one of those teams that is very, very erratic. I mean, sometimes they could put together really good performances like they did against Stanford a couple weeks ago, and then they lose at home to a Cal team that you would think that they would beat at home, because Utah had to start the Pac-12 season really taking aside that Washington game in December. They had to start off with road games back-to-back at UCLA and USC, and then they had back-to-back home games against Oregon and Colorado, who have both been ranked at some point this season. So, you know, maybe this is the get-right portion for Utah on the schedule, but they're just so erratic. I thought 5 was the right number, so I left it alone. Score update in Indiana, Rutgers 73-68 now in the final minute, 51 seconds left to go. So Hoosiers going to have to start playing the foul game to see if they can extend this into overtime.
Indeed. Rutgers on the foul line now. As you just mentioned, Wes, they are indeed playing the foul game to extend the game. Indiana in front, or rather down, 73-68. We mentioned Utah ending a losing streak, a long road losing streak. They lost 13 consecutive games prior to Thursday's win at Washington State. They look to make it back-to-back road wins in the state of Washington for the first time since the 2016-2017. Season. Utah laying 5 at Washington today in the Pac-12. It's Championship Sunday. The AFC, the NFC title games are coming up, and we'll continue our previews of those games when Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, rolls on from Detroit, Denver, and Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.